Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have Dr. Quentin Henning, the President and Chairman of Novo Resources, with me once again. Novo Resources trades in Toronto under the symbol NVO. You can buy it in the U.S., as I have, under the symbol NSRPF. I believe around 178.7 million shares out, about $1.85 in U.S. money as I speak to you today, giving it a market cap of around $338 million in U.S. money. Novo shares exploded off the launch pad in the middle of 2017 from under a dollar to a peak of around $7 a few months later. The stock's rocket trajectory resulted from a spectacular nugget discovery in conglomerate beds in what is known as Novo's Karratha project, and also the basis of an understanding provided by Dr. Henning that these conglomerate beds are mineralized throughout the Pilbara Basin over hundreds of kilometers. Since then, Novo's share price has settled down to into the U.S. $1.50 to $2.50 range as the hard work of determining how these very unusual gold deposits, which are characterized by extreme gold nugget conditions, can be sampled and mined profitably. While spectacular gold discoveries are easy for investors to conjure up dreams of riches, it is not uncommon for investors to become less enamored of a stock during the months and years when hard scientific work is required to turn those dreams into economic reality. Novo has three very unusual gold projects in Western Australia. Those projects are known as the Karratha Project, the Egina Project, and the Beaton's Creek Project. Now, Dr. Henning has told us on several occasions in the past that these nugget issues render Novo's projects especially challenging. But it is my understanding that Novo is pursuing some very creative technologies to deal with the unusual nature of gold mineralization throughout the Pilbara. So I'm really pleased to have Dr. Henning with us once again to give us an update in terms of what Novo is seeking to do to overcome the unique challenges. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Henning.
Thank you, Jay.
You know, as I just noted, your stock really took off in the summer of 2017 on news of the spectacular discovery of nuggets hosted in conglomerate rocks at your Karratha project. And that is a Comet Well and Purdy's Reward. Those are two targets there. Each of the three projects that you are working on are quite different. So I'd like you to outline specific issues with each project that with regard to Novo, to talk about a little bit about how you are overcoming the challenges that are unique to each. And perhaps you could start out with Karratha, which was the area where your stock price really took off based on the discoveries there.
Sure, Jay. That's a good way to introduce the subject, so I can kind of run through things and give everybody an update, but also talk about the challenges and how we're tackling them. The Karratha Gold Project is really what, like you said, launched us in 2017. The discovery of gold was made by prospectors out there. You know, Karratha is a small town. It's about 20,000 people, but there's a lot of people who like to metal detect. Discovery of these nuggets was made probably about 18 months, say, before we showed up, but people had prospecting, you know, with metal detectors in great numbers for several months immediately prior to our land acquisition there. When we got there, it was just remarkable. There were little dig holes all over the place, and they followed this conglomerate bed for a roughly 8-kilometer strike. So, you know, we can readily see that the gold was coarse-grained. At the time, we didn't realize it was basically all coarse-grained, you know, but that's something we learned through exploration. What we did is we were aggressive with land acquisition. We staked a lot of ground. We staked nearly 10,000 square kilometers in about 2.5 months' time. We also did some other deals to put the whole project together at Karratha and explored it in earnest starting in September of 2017. When we started opening trenches, taking bulk samples, getting some data back on the fine-grained gold components, we could also see the nuggets in situ. Like, we could get rock samples that had nuggets embedded in them. We soon realized that we were dealing with pretty much an exclusively coarse-grained gold deposit. Over the next 18 months, we did a lot of bulk sampling work, say last year, where we processed 5 to 10 ton samples. You know, it was a challenge. It was a challenge extracting them. It was a challenge actually putting our finger on exactly where these beds were. It's not easy to see the top and the bottom of the beds in many cases. So it was a huge learning curve, but we managed to effectively quantify the gold grades in these two units. So we see two conglomerate horizons. That's one of the important pieces of information that popped out of that exercise. We see one that sits right on the basement. You know, it's basically resting right on the unconformity with older rocks underneath. Then the second bed is about 12 to 15 meters above that. It sits up section a little bit. And we found that the gold in the upper bed was actually coarser grain. So the nuggets there are usually multi-gram nuggets, whereas the ones in the bottom bed are usually a gram or less in size, but still coarse grain for gold. We've taken all the data that we've put together. We did diamond drilling to collect geology. We've done bulk sampling to assess the grade. We've taken all that information together. We actually published, recently updated our 43-101 report. That was to complement the work we did to put a mineralization report together a few months ago. The mineralization report, as people know, is geared towards moving the project forward towards a mining lease, whereas a 43-101 report is intended for investors. So we put both those out now. Everybody can see where we're at with the project. They can see the challenges, but they can see how we've overcome most of those. Basically, the way I look at it, we're on the same track as we were at Beaton's Creek, where, you know, we had to do some very hard yards early on. But once we got things sorted out, we went into a trial mining phase. That's something we're looking at right now for Karratha. We're also undertaking native title negotiations, things like that. So we're slow and steady, but we're making progress. The native title discussions have taken a little bit of time. There's been some turnover in the management of the local native community. We've just found out there's yet further turnover, which is, you know, it's a little bit challenging and requires some patience, but we are making headway. And right now we're getting some clarity on which way is the best way to go through trial mining phase. So I would say in the next few months, you'll see how that unfolds. But let's now jump to Beaton's Creek. All right. So Beaton's Creek, I'm going to kind of go backwards in time in essence, because we're going to go and look at how we started in the Pilbara. So at Beaton's Creek, which is about 350 kilometers east of Karratha, we actually started working there in 2010 and 11. We started doing some bulk sampling and stuff in 2014. It took a while. It took some hard yards to put together the geologic model, to come up with the right sampling and assaying procedures. But we managed to put together, through several years of work, a very sizable resource. We're up to about 450,000 ounces each of indicated and inferred. The project is now fully permitted. It's gone through, you know, trial mining phase a couple of years back. We've gone through native title discussions. We've got full agreements on both the Balku Enamel corporations. We are basically fully permitted and ready for production. So right now, Beaton's Creek, we're going through an option study. The option study on Beaton's Creek is nearly done, but we are now starting to look at some other aspects of the project and how we could work on it in a bigger picture. So if people recall, we also have some other properties in the immediate area. One of them is called Blue Speck, 20 kilometers east of Beaton's Creek. We also have some properties to the north, for instance, Talga Talga, where late last year we collected some high-grade gold samples along a quartz reef, and we think that could be a sizable target now. So we're looking at combining everything in the East Pilbara into a bigger picture option. And we're actually very close now to making some decisions. So I'd say in the next month or two, people should look for news around that. You know, Beaton's Creek is a nuggety gold deposit. It's nothing like Karratha. It's in terms of size. The gold particles are usually a millimeter or so and less. Still coarse grain from the gold perspective, but it's a little bit more manageable. So it was good for us to cut our teeth. Okay, so let's now jump to Egina. Egina is our most recent project. Egina, we think of as a derivative of the conglomerate gold story. Basically, Egina is a modern gravel deposit. This is gravel that has originated from weathering and erosion of some of these older gold-bearing conglomerates. And those gravels have formed a sheet-like deposit over the flat country. This is inboard from the ocean, say around Port Hedland. It's inboard from the ocean, but not quite up into the hills where the conglomerates are still outcropping. Anyway, in this flat region that we refer to as a terrace, we've got gold-bearing gold-bearing gravels that are quite interesting. The nuggets almost certainly have been derived from the conglomerates. We can see very stark similarities between the nuggets and the gravels and the nuggets and the conglomerate. What we're finding, we're doing work at Edgena now. We got everything up and running as far as processing goes. I was there about a week and a half ago. Everything was running pretty much steady state when I left. They're processing samples now. We anticipate getting, you know, say 10, 20 samples done and then talking to the market about what we're seeing. Now, one thing that we've learned in just the past few weeks at Edgena, there's different types of gravel there. There's definitely different strata or different areas with different gravels. So we're not seeing just a uniform homogeneous sheets of gravel. It's more, there's some older gravels that appear to be, that have what we call laterite associated with them. Laterite is an intense weathering phenomena where you get like a sheet of iron oxides, heavy iron oxides forming at surface. So we see some gravels that are actually capped by this laterite, this iron oxide. We suspect that those are quite a bit older than other gravels, and those actually look like the ones that have the gold. The other gravels that we see look like they cut through it and have, you know, remobilized or pushed the gravel, the older gravel around. So right now we're kind of coming to grips with some of the things we're seeing there. Anytime you open up a new project, you know, you go through a learning curve. There's just no way about it, but you have to be patient and do the hard work. One of the bigger challenges we've had recently, we sought heritage clearance on certain areas on our mining lease to go out and do some work beyond the disturbed area. We've got one area where last year the gentleman who we bought the project from was doing some trench work. When we purchased the project, we asked them to leave the trenches open. So there's a kind of a disturbed area. We've been focusing most of our efforts in that immediate area up to date, and we've sought heritage clearance on areas around that. It's been delayed a bit to get the heritage clearance, which is a little frustrating, but we anticipate getting that, say, in late August or early September. That'll allow us to expand our sampling and geologic work outside of the immediate disturbed area. I'm a little concerned about just focusing on the disturbed area because, you know, it's already been excavated in many places. So we're anxious to get that out of the way so that we can do the harder work. Now, a few things that we've got right now that are very interesting. One is the ground penetrating radar, which is basically a technique that looks at the very, very shallow horizon. You know, this is material, say, down to a few meters within the surface of Earth. The ground penetrating radar does seem to work very well at identifying the gravel horizon, mapping out thickness of the gravel as well as the actual contact of the gravel with the bedrock underneath. This is important because we suspect this will help us identify the channels or chutes or, you know, like zones of mineralized conglomerate. It's very, very promising to date. So we're excited about that. We do have our little plant on site to do the sampling, so it's not like we're having to crush up and process samples like last year. These are free dig samples, you know, free dig gravels that we can put through our plant and more or less see some results very, very quickly. So, like I said, we'll probably process on the order of maybe 15, 20 samples, something like that, and then start telling the market what we're seeing. We do see sizable potential. One thing we are doing around Edgena is we're exploring elsewhere on the terrace. We've got little test ground penetrating radar efforts going on over the greater property area at this point with the deals that we cut with DeGray, and we bought one other piece of ground. We control nearly 2,000 square kilometers of this target. So, you know, it's a sizable area, but we're actually starting to reach out and test new areas. And we do know there's a bit of gold in some of those. We've done a little bit of test sampling at a small scale in some other places. So we're quite excited about that prospect. Then the last thing I'll talk about, Jay, is, you know, our efforts on the greater property. We still have around 13,000 square kilometers under our control. Includes, I mean, it's a huge area, you know, that's, you know, absolutely immense piece of ground. Much of that ground has promise for finding more Beaton's Creeks or Carrathus. So we've actually got two teams out at the moment, one in the West Pilbara and one kind of in the East or East Central Pilbara. They are looking at an inventory of high priority targets that we identified through various, you know, research efforts that we've had over the past year. They've gone out and they've been identifying, guess what, new conglomerates. They've been taking samples. You know, it is challenging to sample this and just take any assays you get at face value, but we are complementing that with a metal detecting effort. And I suspect by the end of this year, we'll probably have, you know, two or three more new, hopefully new and exciting discoveries to talk about to the market. You know, this is not a story that's, you know, limited to the three projects we have right now. We're actively looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah, the bigger picture in conjunction with the nuggets that, it became such a big story in 2017. I think one of the things that you added to that, obviously, was the notion that this is a huge system and lots of things to look at. I must ask you, though, we should be getting some assays then, I guess, pretty soon from Egina. And are you suggesting that perhaps now that you know there are different types of gravels that that you sampled initially might be disappointing?
I would say we're on the edge of the terrace. So where we're located and where we're working right now is basically the area that the guys historically have been able to get to. Like, as you go on the terrace, there's sand and stuff that covers surface, so they can't really metal detect out there. So right now we're kind of restricted to working, because of the heritage clearance, we're restricted to working along the edge of the terrace in the gravels immediately adjacent to the hill. So I think part of the complex geology we're seeing with the different types of gravels relates to the proximity of the terrace, or this location, to the hills. What we think is that the older gravel, that one that's capped by a laterite horizon, is actually the one that has the bulk of the gold in it. And we do see areas out in the terrace proper where, you know, you get away from the hills where you can see laterite capping over a big area. So, you know, right now, I'd say it's a little early to say. When I left about a week and a half ago, they were just starting to get up to speed processing it, and, you know, we'll call it more or less steady state. It does take them about 2 days to put a sample through. So they put the sample through over about a 10-hour period. Then they have to go through a complete clean out where they have to clean everything from one end to the other to make sure they didn't, you know, they capture all the gold. So it takes them another day to get all that done. So I'd say, you know, 10, 20 samples, something like that, will probably take another 2 or 3 weeks, something on that order. In the meantime, I'm hoping to, you know, update people with a little bit of the detail of geology that we're seeing on site rain.
All right. So just in summing up then, the drivers that I see based on what you just told me is that we should be getting some information, obviously, from Egina in terms of these samples. The heritage clearance is a big deal then, as I understand it, because it will allow you to get to the areas where you have greater potential, as you see it, in Egina. I guess you're also going to be giving us some news then as well from Karratha, too, in terms of trial mining results and some samples.
We'll give news regarding where we're going to head with trial mining there. Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think, and are you well-funded to take you through the rest of this year?
We sure are. We've still got about $45 million in the bank. We've, you know, because of the relation we have with Sumitomo, that's helped reduce our spend as a company as a whole. You know, a lot of the money that's being spent at Egina right now, for example, is coming out of the Sumitomo earn and joint venture. So we're well funded. We anticipate being able to use this money very effectively now to make Beaton's Creek, you know, and Egina and Karratha all work together. It's kind of like I've said in the past, kind of like having three horses out in the race, and we're kind of looking at which one's going to hit the finish line first. But my bet is, you know, Beaton's Creek, given how advanced it is, will probably come in first. You know, if things work out for us in the exploration front, that one could be a second. I would say Karratha is going to be a track much like Beaton's Creek, where it's going to take, take 3 or 4 years to get up to a level where we feel confident looking at a commercial mining scenario.
All right. Well, as I said, it's a little bit like what I say is sort of the boring phase of a development of a project, and you have three projects, but in the end, it's all based on developing a project that's economically viable, and I know you're working extremely hard toward that end. So, Quentin, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us again. All the best to you, and I hope we can get an update sometime in the future as well.
Thank you.